ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरय दत्तप्रयसभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नास्तिके. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 29, Text 28. Please repeat. Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Iti vipriyam akarnya.
Iti vipriyam akarnya.
Gopyo Govinda Vashitam.
Gopyo Govinda Vashitam.
Vishanna Bhagna Sankalpa.
Vishanna Bhagna Sankalpa.
Chintamapurduratyaya.
Chintamapurduratyaya.
Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Iti vipriyam akarnya.
Iti vipriyam akarnya.
Gopyo Govinda Vashitam.
Gopyo Govinda Vashitam.
Vishanna Bhagna Sankalpa.
Vishanna Bhagna Sankalpa.
Chintamapurduratyaya.
Chintamapurduratyaya.
Shuka Uvacha. Shuka
Uvacha.
Iti vipriyam akarnya.
Vipriyam akarnya.
Gopyo Govinda Vashitam.
Gopyo Govinda Vashitam.
Vishanna Bhagna Sankalpa.
Vishanna Bhagna Sankalpa.
Chintamapurduratyaya.
Chintamapurduratyaya.
Shuka Uvacha.
Shukadeva Goswami
said. Iti. Thus, vipriyam, unpleasant, akarnya, hearing, gopya, the gopis, Govinda Vasitam, the words spoken by Govinda, vishanna, becoming morose, bhagna, thwarted, sankalpa, their strong desires, chintam, anxiety, apu, they experienced duratyayam, insurmountable. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, hearing these unpleasant words spoken by Govinda, the gopis became morose. Their great hopes were frustrated and they felt insurmountable anxiety. Translation and purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The gopis did not know what to do. They considered falling at Krishna's feet and crying for his mercy, or perhaps remaining aloof and going back to their homes, but they could do neither of these things and so felt great anxiety. A short purport. And so we have in chapter, Canto 10, chapter 29 and verse 28. And we are in this chapter which discusses about the meeting of Krishna and gopis. The relationship of Krishna and gopis is very, very highly confidential and it's very, very esoteric. And this is not to be understood by many people. In fact, I'm not qualified to discuss these matters. Maybe you're qualified to listen, but definitely I'm not qualified to discuss these matters. So, we'll have to know about God and His relationship. The Srimad Bhagavatam, for instance, but before we, I don't know how many of you have heard of Jayadeva's Gita Govinda. The Gita Govinda gives a very, can say graphic details about this relationship between Lord Krishna and the gopis, especially Radharani. This was written in 12th century by Jayadeva, and the you know, the story about how he wrote and how Lord Jagannath himself came personally to finish this. It's a beautiful pastime anyway. So until then nobody knew about this, these pastimes, these confidential pastimes. And of course Mahaprabhu in the 15th century, then he actually brought this whole thing out. Now, so in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is only an outline about this relationship between the gopis and Lord Krishna. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that Srimad Bhagavata Puranam Amaram Yat Vaishnavanam Priyam, which means Srimad Bhagavata Purana is Amalam. Amala means without any impurities or spotless, as Prabhupada says. The Bhagavatam is a spotless Purana. In fact, in the Vedic literature when it says Purana, that means only Bhagavatam. Only when it says like Skanda Purana or Vishnu Purana or Shiva Purana, then we will have to consider that Purana. Otherwise, the word, even Mayavadis, they themselves accept the fact that of all the 18 Puranas, the Bhagavatam is the one that is most complete. Why? Any Purana should have what is known as the Panchalakshanas. So the five attributes or decorations, whatever. So we have what is known as Sarga, creation, Pratisarga, secondary creation. Then we have Manvantaras, the eras, the period between two Manus. One day of Brahma, there are about 14 Manus, you know that, the Chatur Yugas, and then four Chatur Yugas, I mean 1000 Chatur Yugas becomes one day of Brahma. In that one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. Anyway, and the period, Manvantara, the Manus who are the Manus, and the period. And then we have what is known as Vamsas, the two major Vamsas, dynasties, the solar dynasty, Surya Vamsa, and the lunar dynasty, which is known as the Chandra Vamsa. These two dynasties, you may ask, what happened to them now? They've all gone, since they've withdrawn, and they are now in the Himalayas, waiting for the man, the Lord, to come on his horse with a big sword. When he comes and finishes the rest of the thing, that is, I'm talking about Kalki, and these dynasties are supposed to come back and whatever. Now, so there is Vamsa, then there is Vamsami Charita, which means the great personalities have taken birth in the different lineages, in the dynasties. Why I'm saying this is where we are coming to now. So, what is basically in the Purana or in Srimad Bhagavatam especially is the relationship between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees who appear. They can be kings, they can be ordinary personalities, they can be anybody, but by reading these genealogies or lineages we will understand. So, generally that in the Bhagavad Gita we understand nine subject matters, pramayas as they are known as, which means, like we all know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He lives in the spiritual realm, which is known as Paravyoma or Gokula. His body is spiritual. There's one Upanishad which says that his whole body is spiritual. There is no division, matter and spirit in him, unlike us. And then he has got many energies, Parashya Sakti Vividayu Shruyate. And his separated energies that leave jivas, us, the living souls, and we are in the material world, and in the material world, struggling hard, and then by devotional service, we can escape from this material world and go back to the spiritual world. These are the nine subject matters. But one important subject matter is missing in the Bhagavad Gita, that is very, very important for us, and which is very, very, what you call vital in the Bhagavatam, which is rasas, the relationship between the Lord and the jivas, and how by reviving this relationship we can go back home, back to Godhead. Now, the even like I said about the Mayavadis who have special respect for the Puranas. In fact, one Sankarite even said that Sankaracharya will not dare write a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam because he said he will not be able to write. Why? Because the books will be wet. The book that is reading and the book that is going to write. Because he will be crying in tears so much that he will not be able to write the commentary. See, that's how much they themselves have said. Now, most of us who are Hindus, we have grown up with Hindu rituals. You know, like I'll speak for myself. When I was young, I grew up with typical rituals. I was fascinated by Christianity when I was studying, I was Christian institution and I was studying Bible and stuff like that. And much later, I was also drawn to Islam because of so many social things that was very, very nice. And then I became an atheist for a short while. And I got the Bhagavad Gita, and that literally blew my mind. I was filled. Amazing. And then when I read Bhagavatam, the part that was very, very, very fascinating to me was when Bhagavatam discusses about Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. I was shocked. I said, how can a religion cheat? How can there be a cheating religion? This is impossible. All the time we were told that Islam and Christianity and Hinduism, they're all different paths. They will all take you to the final same goal. And here, in the Bhagavatam, they're talking about cheating religion. I was shocked. And it says, basically what it meant was a religion that panders to the needs of the body. That is cheating religion. And which neglects the, what I call the needs of the soul. So that hit me like a thunderbolt, and I was really, and that was it. I thought this is going to be my life, I decided then. So, it is true, many religions, all religions are similar, yes. Religions are similar, yet totally different. And the difference is big, it is not small. So, my point here is that that is a very important aspect here, and this is related to what we are talking about the gopis, Krishna's relationships and our position and stuff like that. So Bhagavatam further discusses about Nitya Siddhas. That means they eternally liberated, and they sometimes come to the material world for a specific purpose, but that's not a fall down. I'm trying to avoid this always when we talk about from the spiritual world coming back, and there's always a big controversy there. I don't want to get into that one. So that is not a fall down, that is the Leela. The Lord Himself or His confidential devotees, they come down and then to perform some pastimes. Because when we deviate, yada yada dharmasya glani bhavati bharata, when we deviate, either the Lord Himself comes to show this conditioned living soul this is the way, or the avatars, or sends acharyas to come and guide us. So, but what happened is, there are Nitya Siddhas and there are also Nitya Baddhas, like ourselves, or rather like me, eternally conditioned. So which means, we are bewildered by this, because we are conditioned by what? Conditioned by this material body. And because we are conditioned by this material body, we are bewildered by the material energy. And by this bewilderment, then we make plans. Nice job, house in Turak, a new Toyota. The list goes on. Or even 13 virgins waiting for me in heaven, if I kill so many people now. Like that. So, this is what is known as a condition, as Prabhupada says all over the place. Initially I didn't understand what this condition and constitution was. For a long time I didn't understand. In fact, we used to have in my younger days, when I first started the movement, we had a lot of seminars on this kind of thing. Condition and constitutional knowledge. The goal of the Veda. The six sampradayas. Four sampradayas. And the six philosophies. In fact, we were told that if you don't even have a basic understanding of the six systems of philosophy, you shouldn't even sit on the Vyasasana. It was, that is how the teaching was then, talking many years ago. Now, of course, any WW can sit and speak anything. That's a different story. But that was the initial. And then, what happened was, because of this condition, see how the whole thing became spoiled? Oh, because of the conditioned nature. Krishna says about Chaturvarnya Mahashustam, that means I created the fourfold varnas, the divisions in society. The four divisions has become 400,000 today because of this condition. This conditioned state has actually become a chaotic state, especially in the so-called Hinduism. So what happens is, like, you know, you have killing of animals going on in temple. So as long as you have doing something in the temple or have some religious connotation to it, then it becomes acceptable. So we have temples which kill animals. In fact, in Malaysia, we have all kinds of funny things, like in slaughterhouses which have temples. You know, they'll have a small prayer first, make sure your knife works properly, and then, you know, this kind of thing. Toddy shops, liquor shops. Liquor shops have their temples. So they go pray first, Lord, give me, make sure my liquor is good today, because it's from coconut trees they brought down. So, and they have their own festivals too. You know, the temple in the liquor shop will have a festival, and they will go around town inviting everybody. In India, they have temples in theaters. Inside theater, you buy a ticket, you go to the Lord and say, make sure that my hero is acting today, the film is good, and the film runs for 100 days, you know, and they break a coconut. So, and the other thing in Malaysia, in hospitals in Malaysia, all the hospitals practically will have a Hindu temple, especially near the labor ward. You know, people, when, you know, for some or other, this labor thing is a big issue. Of course, it is. So people frantic at that time, and they'll run to this temple. It doesn't matter whether you're a Hindu or a Muslim or a Muslim, you know, Christian or whatever. In the early days, they'll run to the temple and pray, you know, my wife is there, please God save her, give her normal birth and stuff like that. So what I'm trying to say is that some or other these things are going on. Externally speaking, a person goes to the church, and then a person is jogging, for instance, and this person is going to the church Sunday, for instance, carries a Bible, he goes to the church, and he prays, give me my daily bread, or he says, give me health, praise to God. So externally, we would think that one guy is just, you know, he's just running around for no reason, and this guy is so religious, he's going to the church. But what is the goal? For both of them, the goal is health. This guy is running and, you know, trying to become healthy, and that guy is going to the church asking God for health. Another person might be working very hard, as they say, working hard for your money. And another person goes to a temple and says, praise to the God or the Lord, and says, please give me money. So externally, it might look like this person is religious and that person is very, very materialistic. But actually, in effect, both are doing the same thing. Similarly, people who want to, you know, somebody dresses up nicely, is wearing whatever, and then he goes to the nightclub looking for a member of the opposite sex. Another person with three lines on the forehead, or even lines going upwards, comes in front of Radharani and says, please Radharani, you got a nice company there, what about me, give me another companion. So we can also do that. So like I said, we are still conditioned. All this is conditioning. By what happens is, by adding God into your material plans, the mind gets a satisfaction that you're religious. So that's what's happening. That's why we're being cheated. And it's not right to say that, you know, I'm here in the temple, I've got Kantimala and I've got Dhoti and I've got my Udupundra, so I am safe. No, that is not. Unless you understand that this conditioning can take place for anyone, and you have to be careful, then this problem will be there for anyone too. So then, among the Nityabhadas, people like me, now this is where it's exciting. So what happened to all these conditioned souls like me? So it says, Prabhupada says, they, by the association of pure devotees, or by reading some scriptures, or that way or meeting even a spiritual master, what happens is he can by practice he can practice, and that by practice he can also attain Krishna. So this is what Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Devotion about Raganoga Bhakti and Sadhana Bhakti. Sadhana Bhakti is devotional service by regulative principles. That means you force yourself to do it initially. You force yourself, you can't, getting up in the morning or becoming vegetarian or chanting, everything will be a problem initially. But you keep on doing it as an exercise. And then suddenly what happens is this exercise becomes your way of life. You have to have prasadam, you can't eat if it is not prasadam. You have to have, as soon as you get up, you have to put your tilaks on your body, otherwise you feel naked. You have to, so many things become you have to anymore. Not like what it was before. So we have, like I said, Nitya Siddhas, they are eternally liberated, but they come and perform pastimes. And I would like to say something about the, I don't know how many of you have heard about this Arvas in South India. Maybe some of you would not have even heard of the term. The Arvas, Ardal in Tamil means to be absorbed or immersed. So they were totally absorbed or immersed in the divine glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now who are they? They were 12 in number, Ayudhas, Bhushanas and Parshadas, which means Ayudhas are weapons, Bhushanas ornaments, and Parshadas, they were the eternal associates. We say the evidence for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Lord or as Krishna. We use this verse in Bhagavad, Krishna Varnam, Trisha Krishnam, Sangopangasa, Tira Parshadam, we say that. So similarly, they were either the weapons in the sense the Lord has a sword, he has got a bow, and he has got sang, chakra. Sang is not a weapon. Chakra is definitely a weapon. And then ornaments, he had this Vajinti mala, beautiful mala that he is wearing. And then he has the Kaustubha, Manihara, as they say, it's a beautiful gem that he was wearing. And also associates, he has Garuda there, he has, different associates of his. So what I'm saying is, these people, about 12 of them, they came down to this material world to perform pastimes. So there's one interesting person by the name of Tirumangai Alvar. Tirumangai Alvar was the sword, Saranga. Sorry, not sword, the bow. He was the ruler of this small place called as Tirumangai, of the Chola king. The South Indian, there were three major kings, or one of them was the Chola king, and he was actually a smaller minor king that, anyway, it's a long story. So what happened is this Tirumangai, he was a very, very extraordinary personality. You can't believe this pastime. He was a king, but he was lying, he was cheating, he was even killing. In fact, he was like an ISKCON devotee. He will do anything for Krishna. That was his mood. He was a prototype for the future ISKCON, the prototype, the model for future ISKCON devotees. Now what happened to him, when he first meets a girl, Kumudavalli, he was very excited about this girl and he wanted to marry her. And then she makes two conditions. He said, you have to become a Vaishnava and you have to feed 1,000 Vaishnavas daily. That was a tall order. And of course, he was so madly in love with her and he promised her, alright, I'll become a Vaishnava, And so he put on his thing and he put on his dhoti and kantimala and then he was king with no problem. So he was feeding 1,000 people daily for 1 year to do that. Then only Kumudavalli will get married to him. And he was doing that. And so, of course, when he was feeding 1,000 people daily, what is happening? I mean, India people really eat, you call 1,000 people to eat, that's a lot of money. So his treasury was going down and down and down. So he had four special assistants to help him. They were like the X-Men. They were not mutants, but they were like also, different kinds of personalities. One could walk on water, one could open any lock. He could just walk, open the lock and take someone and come out. So much so, even at one time, when he built this, he built in Srirangam, that is in South India. The Srirangam temple is considered the largest temple in the world. Now many people might not know that, but it is considered large because it's a huge complex actually. It's in the island and the Kauri and what's the other river. Now the thing is, what I'm trying to say is, he built a big wall around this temple, and after building the contractors and the architects were demanding money. So he said, all right, you'll get your money. The money is there in the river, the other side. So go with so and so. So this guy's name is Niral Narapan, which means he can walk on water. He takes them on a boat. Yeah, money. Come with me, I'll give you money. So he took them onto the waters, on the boat, and then right in and everything, he sank the boat and killed everybody, and he walked back. Now you think you'll be terrified. What is this? What is kind of story is this? So the children of these people, they didn't keep quiet, of course. They went to Ranganath. And they told the Lord, what is this? Your devotee is he's a king and he killed all our parents and whatever, relatives. So they said, your parents were killed by Tirumangai. You see, this is what the deities will speak. Stone speaks. They don't understand. You see, if you look at any encyclopedia, you look at Alvars, you look at Tirumanga, everything will be there. But the minute they talk about, anything to do with the deity speaking, that will be censored. They think that, all the Alvar appearing and speaking. For instance, the 12 Alvars left what is known as the Divya Prabandha, which means the divine glorification. There are 4,000 in number, which was lost. In the history, you'll find that only 10, some families were singing. And this, I think it's one of the acharyas, he here said, what is this? This is the Divya Prabandha. How many do you know? 10. What happened to the rest? He said, we don't know. We only know 10. And he goes to a temple and then he sings his 10. And that particular Alva who gave that, he appears there. Now science will not accept. Definitely will not. You are made of carbon, hydrogen, oxygen and nitrogen. You already become ash and you've gone back. How can you reappear? See, they don't understand this. But that part is also there. That how this Balwar comes back and he gives this whatever, few hundreds, and then he tells this person, now you go to all these various temples and you sing all this Divya Prabandha that you know, and they will be happy and they will give their. So all the Alvars who disappeared much earlier, they came back and then they gave the Divya Prabandha and then he compiled the 4,000. Now we have the full 4,000 with us. That's how it is. And all of them associates of it. Garuda came and Sangha came, Chakra came, and all of them came. And when they come down and when they deliver, each one is unbelievable. Anyway, back to the story of Tirumangai. What happened? And the Lord said, look, killed by Tirumangai. They've all four hands and they've gone back to the spiritual world. So what is your problem? So they were satisfied. Like now, what I was trying to say about Tirumangai here was, he had that he was not an ordinary personality. He was an extraordinary personality. So while trying to steal, this is another interesting story. He was robbing, and in the middle, he was a king in the daytime. At night he was a robber. And he had all his assistants robbed. So one day he heard there was a wedding party. Very rich people are going. Said, if we go and do this, we will be very, very profitable to go and rob. So, and they go in the middle of the night. They stop this, middle of the night. And there is a bridegroom and the bride. And they're going in the palanquin. And they said, stop. And then he said, okay, grab everything that you can. They told the bridegroom and the bride to give all the jewels away. And so they gave all the jewels away, except the bridegroom had a ring in his hand, and he said, which was of course big and shining and all that kind of thing. And so Tirumangai told him, hey look, what is this? You've got a beautiful ring there and you don't want to give. So look, I'm trying to remove it, but I can't. Please remove it yourself. So he comes and then he will try and remove, because he's a strong person, and he can't. So finally he'll put his mouth on his on the ring, and you know, trying to pull it out with, you know, trying to. And the Lord and the person that, and the bridegroom was, you know, was enjoying that and was laughing all the time. He finally took it out. Then when the booty, they wanted to carry the booty, they couldn't lift it. And they were so shocked. And the first there were servants tried, and then Thirumangi himself won, and finally he himself came to lift and he couldn't lift it. Then he looked at the bridegroom and said, "You are a, you know, you've got some, you're a mystic person, you've got some siddhi, you've done something, you've put some mantra, that's why I can't lift it. You better undo this or otherwise I'll finish you off." So okay, I can tell you the mantra, come closer. And he goes closer, and into his ears he says, "Om Namo Narayana, Narayanaya," which is a akshak, what is known as the 8th syllable mantra. So when he hears that, then everything comes into the thing that he realizes that it is the Lord himself, that it was Vishnu himself who came there and to do that to him. Okay? So that was the very interesting story. So they sometimes may appear for a certain time, because this leela, for some time they'll appear to be conditioned and all that, but then you will see that they meet it, that is a rapturous turn or outcome in their lives. For conditions lurk, souls like us, the only way out, Prabhupada says, is by devotional service. Like I said, there are two types, Raganuga, and which is spontaneous love of Godhead. That certain people will have, you know, is already, if they are. Or others, like us, we have to do this Raganuga, and we'll have to keep on practicing, but we can go to the extent of, what you call, I mean, sadhana bhakti, which can ultimately lead us on to Raganuga bhakti. But we can't imitate, because we can't. I know in a mission, in what they do is, when basically that mission tells you about meditation, how you, the results you get. So when you meditate, and then you will get this, first you will get the taste of nectar, and then you will hear bells ringing, and then finally you will see this light. So this is promised. So, of course, if you want to, you know, nectar, that's very simple. Early morning, of course, we can go here, we can get our charnamrita, amrita, we get, that's our nectar here. If you want to see light, you just put on the switch, you can see light. You know. And if you want to, you know, want to, or better still, if you want to hear bells ringing and light, give the person a tight slap and he will hear bells ringing and he will see light too. And the point is, what I'm saying is, when they are just starting, a new bhakta comes, walks in, and they'll ask him, "Have you got it? Have you heard it? Have you seen the light? Have you got the nectar at least?" So everybody goes crazy, everybody goes design, and everybody is trying to sit there and meditate and quickly get the taste and quickly hear the bells and quickly see the light, and it becomes a vicious thing, you know, and everybody is so frantic, and everybody, I saw, and yeah, I heard, and you know, it goes like that. So similarly, we can't tell a new bhakta straight away on, we don't imitate what others are doing, or expect the new bhaktas or new devotees to understand such stuff too. And sometimes we have hear this morning a strange thing happened to me. I was in Mangala Arati, Radharani winked at me. And then, wow, did he wink at you? And then everybody goes on to this. Oh, my Gornithai, they danced for me. What about yours? By the time I came, they finished dancing. The shoes were all over the place, or you know, something like that. So we have to be careful. I'm not saying these things don't happen. They can happen. They will happen. They can happen. Of course, even if they, you know about Sakshi Gopal, and you know, when he says, "Come and give witness." He said, "I can't walk." So he says, "If you can talk, you can walk." So, like that, the deities of course can do pastimes. But we have to be careful to whom we are saying and what we are saying. Otherwise, there will be confusion. So there was one incident, I think it was in Delhi during Prabhupada's time. There was one person, one devotee, was a brahmachari. He was staring at the deities, you know, he was so attracted to the beauty and was looking at the deities and looking at the deities. So Prabhupada passed and then he went off. And then after an hour or so he passed by and his brahmacharya was still looking at the deities, you know. So he went, got a bag of books and gave it to him and he said, you go into Sankirtan, I will look at the deities for you. So, in a sense, you said, yeah, it's beautiful, but we'll also have to do our devotional service. So, what I'm trying to say is that the way out for us is devotional service, and devotional service begins with the chanting of the holy names. Only by chanting these holy names, and then you will get that your mental clearance will be there, and you can understand transcendental subjects. Now, if you are not careful, because every movement, there is a mission and there is a congregation, and unless we are careful, like I always say, because we will be all the time, the congregation will be telling us what to do, and sometimes we can get into difficulties because of this. Like we are already performing so many samskaras, we go to the homes to perform samskaras. Nowadays our pujaris are also invited. When somebody buys a new car, our pujaris are there doing puja for the car. I mean, this is ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I'm saying how these things are coming, creeping in, you know. We have to be careful. We have to know this is a conditioned state and constitutional state, and we have to understand these things. We can't just pander to the whatever. Because sometimes certain things can happen. The Lord has acted in very strange ways. I don't know how many of you have been to Dwarka. Dwarka in India is in the western part of the... See, Krishna, till the age of about 15, you can say, he was in Vrindavan. 15, he already went to Mathura to kill Kamsa. And after that, he was there for some time till 25. Till the age of 25. And after that, he went off to Dwarka. He created this island called Dwarka in the west coast. And there, he had his pastimes for 100 years. So the longest period of Krishna's pastime was what is known as Dwarka. Of course, when the Vrishni race went back, Dwarka folded. What you see now, Dwarka is not the real Dwarka, because that was the original Dwarka was constructed by the celestial architect Vishwakarma, and that part of the thing was when Krishna leaves, everything will be collapsed because wind back and taken back. So what happened is subsequently kings built, because the Dwarka, they built their palaces and all that, which also went down. So now you see architects and archaeologists and people who go under the water, they have discovered and saying this is Dwarka. But this Dwarka is not the original Dwarka. This Dwarka is a Dwarka that is built by subsequent kings. So that is what they are discovering. They are not really discovering, because that was a transcendental thing. So because you went away from this place, the Dwarka, they say Ranachor, who ran away from the battlefield, you know. But if, you know, Ranchorji, actually that is also related to our story today. Ranchorji means the Lord who ran away. You see, if you run away, is that news to anybody? It is just an insult. But the Lord, whatever he does, that's a huge pastime. And there is a huge temple. You get huge ladus. You go to the Ranchorji temple, they give you a big, big ladu, and plenty of thousands of people flocking to get in. Because though it is said that he ran away, actually he had to go. He had to meet his queens. He had to meet Dwar Rukmani, Satyabhama. He had to do so many pastimes there. He has to wake up the Gujarati people. He has to do so many things. You know, it is not one thing. The Lord, when he does, it is not one reason. Anyway, what I am saying is, in Dwarka, the story is, this story happened about, not very long ago, maybe about 200 years ago. And you have a nice, and so what I am saying is, if you go to the Dwarka, you know the mood in Vrindavan, you know the mood in Mayapur, but the mood in Dwarka is entirely different. It's a regal, you know, we can recollect that he is the king and we are the subjects. It's very, very nice. It's different. When you go to Mayapur, Vrindavan is Radhe, 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 everybody is Radhe, Radhe, that's all in Vrindavan. And Mayapur is different with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his pastime. But here, Krishna is the Lord. That means the shops, the town, the whole thing works. When the time is up, they close the shops, they run to the temple. You know, it's like that. And as long as the boss is there, the king is there, Krishna is the king, and they are very happy. Now what happened is, that deity that you see today is not the original deity. That Dwarkanath, now what is known as Dwarkadish. Originally there was this Dwarkanath, about 200 years ago. What happened was, there was this devotee by the name of Vodhanaji. Now this person is from Dhakur. I don't know how many of you know Dhakur. Dhakur is the place now where the Ranachodji temple is. Am I confusing you? Never mind, don't worry. It's another place south of this place. So this person, every year used to do an annual pilgrimage to this Dwarka temple to go and pray. And finally he reached the age of 72. And you know, that was too much for him. So he told the Lord, look, you know, I've been doing, I don't think so I can make it next year. This is it. I don't think so I can make it. I'm finished. So, I hope you will take care of me. I hope I can, I don't know whether I'm qualified to see you. I hope I can see you and, you know, I'm continuing my pastimes with you. So the Lord spoke. You see? Stone speaks. Max Muller doesn't understand this. Indologists don't understand this. They don't understand this. They think, you know, it cannot, how can a stone speak? It will speak. Of course it speaks. You know. Anyway, the deity told, Lord told him, look, if you can't come, I don't abandon my devotees. I never abandon my, not in this life, in the next life. I don't. Since you can't come to see me, I'll come with you. What? You are going to come with me? How are you going to come with me? Very simple. Just go and get one cart, bullock, two bullocks and a cart and come in. You come to the temple. I'll come with you. So this man is a poor man, Vodhanaji, and he goes around the town and asking for, you know, to buy a cart and a set of pair of bullocks. Finally somebody, you know, rickety cart is breaking down and two bulls which, you know, they're going to die any time. Cost more money for the funeral, the owner said. So the miner said, this old man, stupid fool, he's come here. Anyway, I'll get it with a little bit of money, I'll get rid of this. And then he got his money and gave this thing. And so Vodhanaji came to the temple and he was an old man. And he's not going to do it. He can't do anything. So he just parked the thing outside the temple and he's just getting there and thinking, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do. So what happened was, of course, the temple is shut tight. You know, guards are there, the priests are very careful, everything is closed. Then what happened was, suddenly in the middle of the night, yes, of course, the Lord wants to, you know, do whatever he will do. You can't control him. So the doors are open, everybody is asleep. He comes to the thing, cart, and he hops onto the cart and tells Vodhanaji, okay, drive me to Dhakur. I'm coming with you. So this old man, oh my Lord, he kept it from, all right, let's go. And he's doing, and the rickety thing is going, and it's taking so long. Then the Lord felt sorry. He says, okay, you take a rest, you know, it's a hard day for you. I'll take over. So he put him back and then he sat on the chariot. I mean, it's not new for him. He has been a chariot of Arjuna. So he's a driver here again for Vodhanaji. But the minute he took and then Vodhanaji went to sleep, within a couple of moments they were already on the outskirts of Dhakur. Of course the Lord could just transform to that. What happened was, as he was going into the thing, there was a neem tree and the Lord actually touched the neem tree, the branch of the neem tree. They say that branch that he touched, of course neem tree, you know neem tree is very, neem is bitter, and that particular branch that he touched is sweet. And according to what I was told, it's still sweet, that branch is still, the tree is still there and the branch is still sweet. The rest of the tree is bitter, but that branch is still sweet. Touched by the Lord. Now, then what happened was, when reaching the outskirts, then Lord said, okay, you better take over. So, they changed places and went straight to home. And then of course, you know, in Dwaraka, the morning they saw the deity is missing, but they saw all the, you know, the jewels, everything is there, nothing else. So they realized that nothing was stolen. So the funny thief, you know, he only stole the deity, but he didn't steal the money. You know, the Brahmanas were very happy. The priests were very happy. Ah, we have our money. So, but what happened was, but of course, they had to have the reason for God, the Lord leaving. Everything had a reason, you see. So they called the priest and all that. So they made big inquiry what happened. And then they found out that this old man had come and bought a carton. So that, oh, this old man must have done the job. So they rushed to Dako. So meanwhile, the Lord knows, oh, they're coming after me. So he tells both, take me to this. It's a small town and there is a lake. So put me in the lake. So for him it was so easy. Bhagavan takes him there like a father, he lifts him, put him into the lake, the tank. It's known as Gomati. So they finally they come and they search the whole town of Dakur, and you know they harass the Bodhananji, and he says, no, I didn't do anything, you know, I didn't steal anything. So because he's acting on the instruction of the Lord. And he was lying, like all of us will lie for the sake of Krishna. So what happened was, finally they said it must be in the tank. So they got these poles. The poles they used to find the gauge, the depth of the lake, the water. So they went, took the poles and they started going all over the place. And then one of those poles hit the Lord's chest and the water turned red as if the Lord was bleeding. So when they saw that the thing was red, oh my God, there's one thing here. So they fished out and they found that the deity. So they brought the deity to the banks of the lake. See, the Lord allows as much as he allows, not because you are allowing it. Up to the bank, and then he stopped, he wouldn't move. So then became a big thing, and the priest was saying, oh, because of you, you see, because of you, we have hurt him, and you know, his injury there, and all that kind of thing. So he said, I only acted with the instructions of the Lord. So what happens was, the priest tell Bodhanaji, okay, you can keep him because they know they can't take him away. You know, it's no point. So what is the best thing to do? After all, it's a stone. So get some money. If we can get some money, and we can make another stone and put in Dwaraka and finish the job. You see? They were very practical Brahmanas. So they said, okay, we put the weight of gold equivalent to this dairy. You give me gold equivalent. And then you can keep the dairy. So they were sure two things. Firstly, this poor Bodhananji, he will not have, how can he get so much of gold? I mean, it's a huge dairy, you know, it's about 7-8 feet, I think, more than that. It's not small, it's 8. Larger than human size, you know, they're supposed to be odd size, almost 8 feet, 7 to 8 feet. And then in gold, solid gold, not possible. But he had a very, very devoted wife, whose name was Gangabai, and she had a nose string, which was gold, just a wire nose string. So she was there, she was crying to the Lord and all that. So they put on a scale, they put this one day on the deity there. And Gangabai took this gold, the nose string, and she put on the other side of the scale, and the scale tipped. When the scale tipped, the Brahmanas were shocked. They couldn't believe. Oh, they knew now they're dealing with the big boss himself. They're no more dealing with the temple president. They realized, wow, this is real business. So they fell down and asked the lady for forgiveness. Oh, Lord. You know, till then, they were thinking, you know, some kind of a stone, you know. So they, so the Lord said, okay, not to worry. So he said, what can we do? Our families are there. What will be our livelihoods and what, you know, things like that. We have always served you. You only say you like Brahmana so much. And what are you doing about it? And so finally the Lord says, alright, you go back. I will manifest myself there, Dwaraka. I'll be here. But I will manifest again in Dwaraka. And then you can establish me there. And then you can do whatever you want to do. So he said, that is the well there, you can pick me up. Then he says, okay, but only one condition. Today is the third day, wait till Ekadasi. On the Ekadasi day, you can take me up and then you can do whatever you want with me. So the devotees were the priests were very happy, they ran away. But the greedy priests, they couldn't wait. Instead of waiting a few days, 4-5 days, and then better go and check it out. What we have fooled, whatever. So we have to be smart, you see. So what they did, they picked the lady up. And they picked the lady up, and they said that the lady is eyes are half closed. Because it's like, if you had given enough time, the Lord would have fully opened the eyes. So the eyes are half closed. And it is a dark stone, it's a black stone, but this is not black, it is greyish, it's maturing. See, the Lord is all his past tense, nobody can understand. And on top of that, it's got a string, you know, Brahmana thread, which goes from the left to the right. This thread, you know, it's white in color. You know, can anybody understand how can you have a, you know, is it a black stone or a white stone? You have a white thread, the stone. But how can you have a color of the thread which is different from the original stone? It's not possible, you know what I mean? You can't, it is manifested, it can't just happen. So meanwhile, what happened was, and they were happy anyway, they were happy, they got their deity and they installed and they were doing the usual stuff. And meanwhile, Bodhanaji, he built a small temple, and that temple is in Dakur, that's where that temple is known as Naranachurji. And even now, where the place where they found the original deity in the lake, Gomati Lake, there is also a temple there. If you go there, you can even see that. So these are the, what do you call, different like condition and non-condition, and Nitya Siddhas and Sadhana Siddhas and Nidya Baddhas, and how we are, different levels, and we can't take the mood of, you know. So we have to be careful when we're reading about the gopis and the relationship. And we can't have mundane interpretations or even similarity. We can't. As far as I'm concerned, it's beyond our mind and senses are so dull and so stupid. We can't understand these things. Impossible. Anyway, devotional service begins with the chanting of the Maha Mantra, and which is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So by that we will slowly understand more and more spiritual things, and then, like I always say, spiritual life is very exciting. If we explain these things, condition and constant state, to people properly, and the movement should grow, because it is the topmost. I mean, nobody else understands this thing. Bhagavatam only explains such historic matters. Thank you very much. If there are any questions or comments.
I think, sir, the story of Manchur is related to Lord King Mishkun.
King?
Mishkun, who was sleeping in that cave, and that time he was sleeping for long.
Yep.
He fought for God. That is why.
Yeah, but the curse is if when the Mishkun, when he opens his eyes, whoever he sees, he will finish him or something like that. So yeah, the Lord is taking this guy, waking him up and running away, so he will open and see this guy. Yeah. That's why they don't like Krishna. Krishna is too smart. They all, in India, they want Rama Rajya, they don't want Krishna Rajya. Because Rama is, you know, he's a Maryada Purushottama. So he's the perfect son, perfect husband, perfect brother, perfect everything. And the perfect king, of course. So they like him. Krishna, all the politicians, you know, what will they do? In India, all the politicians will die if Krishna comes. You know? You are smart, he'll be doubly smart, triply smart. Then how will they survive? It's very difficult to survive. So they don't like him. So, yeah. So, but the mere thing is, he did not run away to Dwaraka. The people that he transferred, everybody instantly. It is like, you know, it was not like they did not have bullock carts and travel from Mathura for days and days and days with water packs and all the kind of thing through the desert, struggling, and you know, they didn't do that. Dwaraka was created, they had gone. That's it. You have to understand that it was like that. Anyway, he came, the same person, I can't remember his name now. Came to Dwaraka to fight with him, and he finished him there. So, Jarasandha. Divya Prabandha, yeah. Divine glorifications. That's the director. This is known as the it is, you can say, the Vedas in the Tamil language.
Has that been published in English?
In English, you can get translations here. Yeah? All 12 of them. One of them is a lady, Andal. She's the, you know, the Vishnu said Bhu Devi, Sri Devi, and Nila Devi. She's the combination of the all three, I think. Or Bhu Devi or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
No. That's a big. See, each one is a big story by itself. She's a daughter of a physician, a doctor, and she's a something like a demigoddess. She's extremely beautiful. Tirumangai, of course, how can the consort be, you know, Tirumangai is a servant of the Lord, how can he marry the
consort? No, it's this girl that he fell in love with today.
The king and the...
Yes.
Yeah, because the two conditions he fulfilled, he became a Vaishnava, he started feeding the thousand days, they married. And towards the end, when the realization comes, both of them will be doing a lot of, devotional service towards the end of their lives. In fact, she will only tell about a past of her life to him. Only when he gets his realization, then she will reveal her true nature and stuff like that. Of course, all these details. So much of details, you can go on and on. It's never ending. Anything else?